Right. Good morning, familia. Yes, it's good to see you people. We are the crazy ones. All right? No. All right? My wife, I don't know. Okay, let me ask this question. How many accidents did you see on the way here? None? Oh, praise God. Okay. I saw four, but I think I have to drive the farthest, so that's no problem. Well, God bless you. You guys are here. We're safe. We're sound. We're warm. And I pray that you're ready to hear God tell you something, share something, encourage you. So let me pray real fast, please, again. Heavenly Father, thank you once again. Thank you for the meal, Lord, that you have been feeding me throughout this past 2 weeks. Part of me, God, wants to, in a sense, just yell and if I could use this word, vomit it all over everyone. That's not a good descriptor, but you know what I mean, and they know what I mean. God, I am so full that I need to be patient and say, and make sure that I say it calmly and with precision so that I lift up your name and only your name this morning. And I pray, God, that I thank you for all that has been done already this morning from our wonderful worship that led us into your presence. Now, God, may your words give us the peace that we need, the hope that we long for, and encourage our hearts and our minds. And Lord, allow every ear to hear what God has prepared for them. They're here to hear you, Lord. So, God, speak through me as your servant in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay. Glasses on. I don't know why I keep bringing up my phone. I don't have that little clock thing anymore, so I can't tell the time anyway, so it's useless. All right? So somebody's going to have to tell me when to shut up, okay? All right? That'll be good. All right. Holidays. Anybody get stressed out about them? No? Anybody, what's their favorite thing, right? Right? I like the holidays. I do. Especially when the fall, the colors start to change, right? And you start seeing the red and the yellows. And I was going to say blue, but there's no blue there, you know? But it's really cool. I start wondering, I go, look at all these things that God has done, and he changes it. And when I see the colors being changed, and I see the brisk of the air, and I'm a sweater guy. I like to put on a sweater, you know, and get dressed. I'm like, oh, it's coming. It's coming, yes. You know, and then it's funny because in my house, you know, again, going to my mom's, you're getting ready for turkey and the smell of pasteles. Yeah. and there's a thing that we have, it's called coquito. Yeah. I'll introduce you to that. It's a little bit better than eggnog, okay? All right. And all of that is in preparation because we know it's coming. We know the holidays are coming. And in my house, we grew up, we would celebrate, how many are Christmas Eve people? Okay, couple? How many are Christmas Day people? Okay, we were Christmas Eve people, right? So we go to our house, my mom's house for Christmas Eve dinner and Christmas, right? And everybody brings in the gifts and you put them there and you lay them down. But the thing is, you have to wait until midnight. And at midnight, we could open up gifts. So the time we finished, it was 1 or 2 in the morning. But all of that was in preparation. We were preparing from the minute Thanksgiving hit to Christmas Eve. We were preparing. I don't know about you. I like to prepare because when I prepare, I get the pressure off of me, right? Some of you guys are like, it's not a bad word, okay? Procrastinators. Any procrastinators in the house? Okay, there you go. It's like, the guy's like, it's you, you know? I don't like procrastination. I was like, get there 15 minutes ahead of time. So if you're there at 10 o'clock, you should be there at 9:30, okay? Because 15 minutes before 15 minutes, and then you're on time. All right? Sorry, that's a military thing, right? It's called hurry up and wait, you know? And you get there. I don't know about you, but you have to be ready. You have to be ready. God was ready from the beginning. I don't know about you, if you ever read this, it's in Genesis chapter 3, I think it's verse 15. It's called the Evangelium or the pre-Evangelium, the pre-good news. That right from the beginning, after the fall, God says, don't worry. I got a guy, you know? That's the way that we say it in Chicago, right? We got a guy. I got a guy. Anybody got a guy, right? Well, the father's like, I got a guy. He's coming. He's coming, and he's going to slap you down. You're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. That was called the pre-evangel, the pre-good news. And in saying that, there was one that was supposed to set up the stage, get everything ready. John comes in. John the Baptist comes in, and he's the pre-guy. He's there to prepare the place, okay? Here's my big idea. The preparation of the gospel began in ancient times with the word presented by God's servant and proclaimed the most fantastic news ever spoken. Amen? It was that good news that John was proclaiming. He's like, hey, there's somebody coming after me. I'm here to prepare the way. But he's coming. And just like the leaves turn and the brisk air comes and snowflakes start to fall, there's one that's coming. God prepared a prophetic word, a proclamation, and a person to present to the world. But you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see, because if not, you're going to miss the whole thing. Christmas is not about Black Friday. And who could get the biggest plasma TV? Is there still plasma TVs? I don't know. But, you know, the biggest TV. It's not about that. It's about Christ. So we're in Mark chapter 1, okay? Turn to Mark chapter 1 in your pew Bible, okay? I forgot to write down the page number. What's the page number for the pew Bible? Ready? Anybody know it? I think it's like the 860s. Anybody, when you have it? Huh? 569, okay? Page 569 in your pew Bible, if you have it, okay? And again, God had prepared a prophetic word, a proclamation, and a person to present to the world. And this is what Mark's gospel is showing. What do we look for the coming of the king? So let me give you a little background on Mark. Mark was written by a guy named John Mark, a disciple, technically, of Peter, the apostle, okay? He is mentioned in the Bible as the son of the woman named Mary in Acts chapter 12:12. That's John Mark. John Mark was the cousin of, anybody know? Barnabas, okay? And he traveled with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. But remember, Mark was probably a teenager, okay, at this time. And in Acts 13:5, he left them from Pamphylia. He's like, oh, I can't do this missionary stuff. And he leaves, and Paul gets really upset with him. Okay? Barnabas wants to, oh, let him come. And like, nah, he chickened out. He ran on us. I don't want that guy around me, you know? But later they do get a chance to reconcile. But Mark learns the gospel from a guy named Peter. We all know Peter. So in many ways, the gospel of Mark, in my opinion, you could be say it's the gospel of Peter, in a sense. Mark's gospel is action-packed. It's the shortest of all the gospels, okay? And remember, Mark's audience, who he's writing to is the Romans. And he's presenting Christ as a servant, as one who gets things done, okay? It was the first gospel written, and it enters into this thing called the genre of gospel, the good news. This was the first one. Right? And there's a key thing here. Over 42 times there's this word mentioned in the Gospel of Mark, and it's immediately, immediately, immediately. If you think of Mark's gospel, think of an action movie, okay? The Romans were, you know, they're conquering the world, and if they're going to serve a God, they want a God who kicks butts and takes names, right? They want a God that's like, hey, this God is cool. Because he knocks down demons, he heals the sick, he raises the dead. This is a God that I could follow. And Mark's like, hey, Romans, this is why you should follow Jesus. because he's the best, okay? He's the servant that all of you could follow. So here's my first point, right? Point number one, preparation began with God's prophecy, okay? Is it there? Yeah. Preparation begins with God's prophecy. Let's read this. Beginning 1 through 1, 2, and 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. Okay? The beginning of the gospel, the good news of Mark, okay, he comes out with two statements. Get ready, he's coming. The gospel means good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The irony of people say, from some people, when Jesus say, I am God, they're like, hey, where does God say this? Mark's gospel has not a secret, but if you read it, you'll see that God is he's presented as God in every chapter of Mark. In every chapter of Mark, you're going to see that Jesus Christ is mentioned as God. But I love it because right here in verse 1, you could hear the voice of Peter. Okay? Now, remember the story when Peter, Jesus is coming off the fishing, right? And they come in and they bring in the boats and it's full of fish. And Peter and Christ have a moment where they're just there one-on-one. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, who do you say I am? And Peter looks at Christ for the first time and has to go, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And how does Mark open up his thing? The beginning of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think Mark was remembering that story that Peter told him. Hey, I was on the boat and he confronted me, but instead of getting yelled at, I got told with love. And he just asked me a simple question and my heart had to confess, you are the Son of God, you are the Christ. That's how the gospel begins, with this word of prophecy. So let me give you a little bit of knowledge here. Prophecy, according to the Old Testament, is a message from God to his people, delivered through a person called a prophet, okay? That includes both forth-telling, that means proclaiming God's truth and will, kind of like what's being done here right now from this pulpit, okay? Even though not a prophet, just a pastor, okay? But this is what's happening. And foretelling, predicting future events. The purpose of prophecy was to call God's people to repentance, to warn them of a judgment, to offer hope, and to guide the nation of Israel. So God would be up here and the people would be here. And God says, I got to talk to these people. What I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to a prophet. The prophet's going to speak to the people, and the people are going to call back to God. That's what a prophet does. He's telling you, hey, this is what's about to happen. And there's two prophecies given here. The first two, it says, this is from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. He says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before you. And before me, chapter 3, verse 1 of Malachi. And then in verse 3 of this thing, it says this. This is quoted from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. There's a voice that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah 40 is the turning point here in Isaiah because it turns from hope in the first 39 chapters to now, boom, it pivots. Okay, in verse 40, And it promises the comfort, the one who's coming. The supreme comfort is found finally when they come back, okay? Because they're in exile. They come back, and then they're like, man, it was true. We're coming. Or he's come. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because this is kind of like a twist. In the Old Testament, it would be this way. In the New Testament, prophecy has one mission. One purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it says this, the one who prophesies speaks to people, what? For their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. I don't know about you. I grew up around a lot of people who would tell me, hey, man, hey, I got a word for you. Anybody ever had that? Right? I'm like, I got a word for you. I'm like, really? Okay. What did God tell you to tell me? Okay. I wish he could have just sent the email, but you're the email. Go ahead, go. And sometimes they would come out as critical. I remember, I know a person that's part of my family now, and this is why I relate this story, because he was told, man, that he was doing this and doing this and doing this, and really just crushed his spirit. And unfortunately, I got to meet that person who said they had a word from the Lord. And I had to go back and tell that person, I said, you said you had a word from the Lord to so-and-so. Like, yeah, I did. And I said, okay, I got a question for you. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. What did you say that upbuild them, console them, or encourage them? And they're like, oh. I was like, yeah, because either the scripture's wrong and you're right, or you're wrong and the scripture is right, but you can't be both true at the same time. And they're like, yeah, I messed up. And I'm only saying that to you because in this word of time now, hey, if I'm gonna share something for you, if I got a word for you, okay, does it edify you or build you up? Because that's the point. It's to build up the church, to strengthen the faith, to gain understanding. If I could say it like this, and I say it humbly, what's coming down from even from here in this pulpit and what you learn in your life groups, that's what the Word of God is meant to do. When somebody shares something with you, that's the purpose of the Word. Is it upbuilding you up? Is it encouraging, exhorting God's people to draw closer to God, encouraging them to live righteously? I know that's Pastor Dell's heart. That's my heart. That's Pastor Rob's heart. That's the elder's heart, is that we would be a holy people. Amen? We're not trying to be religious. Okay? We're not. This is not that church. This church, Long Grove Community Church, is trying to be a holy people, a holy nation. We're trying to be set apart from the world. Even though we're in it, we're not of it. Amen? Okay, I'm only preaching to myself. Or Dave, because he keeps saying amen, all right? But it's the consolation. It's there to meant to comfort, to cheer you up. This is what the Word of God is meant to do. Right from the beginning, God says, don't worry, I got a guy, he's coming. Let me give you a word, okay? Let me tell you what he's about to do. Before he gets here, I'm going to send the messenger ahead of him. And he's going to prepare the way for that guy. He's going to be the voice crying out in the wilderness, make way the way of the Lord. In olden times, when they would send a messenger, the messenger would go ahead. Think of it like today. When the president of the United States goes anywhere, especially, I mean anywhere, but especially overseas, who goes before him? Say it again. Secret Service. Yep. They're there a lot ahead of time, okay? Why? Because they got to make sure there's nothing that can impede the president. There's nothing that's going to slow down the message. There is nothing that could cause harm. They're making every way straight. My friend, he's a retired sergeant major in the Army. He used to be in charge of the inauguration day, right? So he was in charge of all the security for that day. So he was coordinating Secret Service and everything else. I mean, he told me, he goes, they were welding pipes. Like, you know, the sewer pipes on the street? They would weld those things shut, yep. They would weld them shut. They had snipers all around. They made sure that nothing, but nothing, that wasn't supposed to be on that street would get on that way. Why? Because that was their job, to prepare the way, to make it straight. There's John's. He goes, hey, I'm greening you something good. My job is to prepare the way. Make sure there's no boulders on the roads. Get it all clear so that the message could come clearly and without hindrance. That was John's purpose, okay? If you're going to give somebody a word today, okay, if you believe God is going to use you to share something, make sure it's encouraging. Make sure it builds up. Okay? Make sure it cheers up. If your word is critical, okay? And it might be true, do it with peace. Do it with humility and do it with love, okay? I know a lot of people, they know their sin. You don't have to necessarily point it out to them. But if you are, make sure you're there to help them walk through it, amen? Don't just point it out, okay? That's what you do, because that's what prophecy does. It builds up, it encourages, it cheers up, okay? Number two, ready? Preparation continue with the prophet's proclamation, verses 4-6. It says this, John came baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John wore a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Okay? Especially, I love that last verse. He ate locust and wild honey. The messenger. Let's talk about the messenger, John's gospel. Okay? John's gospel gives a fuller description, but in John chapter 1, there's a conversation that is happening as John is baptizing people. Some of the Pharisees came to him and Sadducees and the scribes and like, who are you? Tell us who you are. Because they knew they were waiting for Elijah to come. In fact, they're still waiting today for Elijah to come. And John says this to them. This is found in John chapter 1. Okay, if you, I don't know if you want to turn there to John chapter 1. But in John chapter 1, they're having a conversation. And they're like, who are you? Right? And they thought he was the Christ. Tell us if you're the Christ. And look what John's response in John chapter 1. He says, I'm not who you think I am. Verse 20, John chapter 1. I'm not who you think I am. I am not the Christ. That's not me. And they're like, okay, if you're not the Christ, then who are you? Are you Elijah or the prophet? Now, could you imagine you being compared to Elijah? That would have made his head swell up, right? They're like, man, they think I'm Elijah. No. But John was humble. He's like, nope, I'm not who you think I am. I ain't that guy either. I'm not Elijah. Verse 21 and 22, they asked him, are you Elijah? Nope, nope. Again, they respond, who are you? And then he says it. He says it. Verses 23 and 26 of John's gospel. And I'm using this because I love the dialogue there. He says, I'm the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make way the path for the Lord. John knew exactly who he was and what he was supposed to do. He didn't let the outside influence or his own self-perception get in the way. He knew clearly who he was and what he was about to do. John didn't allow the people to make him to something greater than he was, right? You have to watch out for people like that. And this is, and unfortunately, this happens a lot in the church. Today, we call them celebrity pastors, you know? And it's easy because people, oh, you know, my pastor this. And I'm like, Even from, what's this, about 18 inches high, right? It's easy to fall from here. I could take the smallest child, right, and I could say, come here. And I could probably or probably not be able to pick them up. But if she were to pull on me just one little tug from even this distance, I'd fall quickly. John's like, I know who I am. My feet are staying on the ground close to where it's firm, and this is what I'm supposed to do. That's who I am. Right? I love this. Matthew chapter 11. Verses 13 and 14, it says, for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. Okay? Until John. That's John the Baptist. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. Let everyone who has ears listen. Until, right? What does that mean, until? And you got until this day to get it done. You got it until this hour to bring in the homework. Until John comes, That's it. Once John comes, there is no more, in a sense, prophets and prophecy that way. That's it. He is the last one. He's the Elijah that we're waiting for. I'm not saying it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13 and 14 are saying. 11, verse 13 and 14. He's the one. That's who he is. Now look at the message. This is what he was telling people to do. Repent and be baptized. Baptism wasn't just for new, wasn't new for the Jews. Remember we were teaching back in Acts, right? And Peter preached and 3,000 got saved. Remember that? Anybody read that, right? There was so much water around because when a Gentile converted to Judaism, when he put his faith in Yahweh, for the Gentiles, they needed to be baptized. Why? Anybody know? Because they were not Jews. They were the pagans. They were the ones that were outside the flock. That's for them. We're Jews. We don't get baptized because we're God's special people. The Gentiles get baptized. Now, John comes and he says, nope, all of y'all, even the Jews, yep, you, baptized. They're like, me? I'm a Jew. I don't need to get baptized. Him, yes, him. He's pagan. Nope. All of them. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So could you see? That's a big thing. The Jews are like, hey, we're special. Okay? We're God's chosen. And they are. And they were. And this custom of being baptized, that's not for us. That's for them. And John comes in. He says, no, all of you have to be baptized. All of you have to put your faith in the one who's coming. So repent. Turn from your sin and be baptized, acknowledging that you are a sinner. And you need to be putting your faith in the one who's to come. Right? That's what he was calling them to do. Some believed and some didn't. Those coming out to see John the Baptist heard this, right? What the Holy Spirit was saying through him, and they were being obedient to the message, not just the messenger. Okay? They were being obedient to the message. Like I said, the Pharisees who believed, they believed in their own righteousness. They saw no need to believe and be baptized. They were already righteous in their own selfishness. We're Pharisees. Really? You think religion's going to save you? Religion's not going to save you. Even though they had not seen Jesus, they were looking forward to the one who was to come, the Messiah. John knew his part of the plan, okay? The messenger was here, was there to make a clear path, to herald the message of the way, all right? To get rid of all the obstacles, especially the ones that are inside of you. Is there anything inside of you right now, any pride, any whatever, pain, that you're just saying, oh, I can't give this up because if I give this up, who am I? And Christ is saying, give that to me. That message of repentance, turn from your sin and follow me was critical. That's who you knew you were, okay? If we're going to be like John and prepare and proclaim for the people of John, we have to get ready. And here's the way I'm going to infomercial, ready? For the life groups, okay? If you're like, man, I don't necessarily know how to share the good news of Christ with somebody, this coming semester in about 2 weeks or next week, we're going to start signing people up. But for January, go to Dan's class or my class, either Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and we'll teach you how to share the good news of Christ with people. We'll get you ready to proclaim, okay? Not just knowing, but training. We're gonna not only teach you, we're gonna train you to do it, okay? So you could do that, okay? Infomercial, ready? That's how you do it. You get ready for that. Here's my last thing, ready? Last point. Preparation concluded with a specific person's